We are embodied space. That's how we begin. Shortly after conception, a little pile of cells beginning to... I forgot the word in English. It's called mitosis, basically, to separate, multiply. And then strange things happen. These couple of cells begin to warp, begin to enfold space. And out of the enfolded space, organs grow, a midline grows, a heart grows. So if we feel into the space of the body, the embodied inner space of my experience, if we feel into that body, we have echoes, echoes of our growing to be a body. Echoes that go right back to the beginning of our psychophysical experience. Echoes that go back to how much we ate at the meal table. Echoes that go back to how much we slept. We find in that body a language that speaks of our energetic tone. It speaks of our postural tone. It speaks of our emotional tone. If we listen into those spaces, then part of that space will be preoccupied with the cognitive tone, the images, the speed of our flitting thoughts, the jauntiness of it, the jaggedness of some of it, or the slow meandering quality of it. We can be aware of all this, this part of our mind that is capable of being aware of other parts of that mind. There's something in us that is capable of both touching and listening into the somatic experience, the kaya aspect of my meditative experience. Something is capable of acknowledging the pleasure and displeasure aspect, the vedana channel of my experience. Something is aware of the emotional and volitional response to my experience, the mood I experience, the liking and disliking I experience. And obviously, one aspect of this experience is it's the thoughts, the emotions, the thoughts and the conceptions, the images, not the emotions. They'd be part of the former channel. But the thoughts, the images, the concepts that run through the mind. Now I'd like you to lean back and just acknowledge these channels of experience. We don't need to engage with the body sensations, with the agreeable and disagreeable bits, with the mood bit, with the thought bit. We don't actually need to engage any of these, but we need to be aware that these channels are there and that there is something capable of seeing this happening, even of feeling this happening, but not joining the fray, not jumping into. So I'm not arguing with my thoughts. I'm not trying to change my emotions. I'm not trying to run after things I find agreeable and stay away from things I find disagreeable. I'm not haggling with my body sensations, trying to get other ones or trying to make the ones more clear. No, but I do notice they're there. I do notice this is happening. I do notice how it feels. And most importantly, I do notice my relationship to it. What kind of climate of mind takes place when I go from one to the next of these four channels? received wisdom has it that if I don't make a choice, I generally end up in channel 4. Channel 4 is about thinking, remembering, planning, imagining. That's where we have received much training. That's where our habitual attention often goes. If somebody asks me how I feel, I generally go there and see what kind of thoughts I have. If they are happy thoughts, I tell them I'm feeling happy. If they're sad thoughts, I may tell them I am sad. But actually, that's only part of the truth. I could, rather than just go and look at my thoughts when being asked how I feel, I could take a moment and acknowledge the other three channels as well. I could acknowledge how the body feels. Or I could acknowledge what kind of quality of mood there is. Or I could acknowledge that I like or I don't like this particular experience of being me right now. All of these possibilities go back to there being an aspect of the mind that is capable of knowing what happens. Now consider this as a possibility. And look, do you find that capacity in yourself that you know what happens? There's something that knows this body is sitting here and being carried by the ground beneath. There's something that knows the posture of this body, its orientation in space. There's something that knows whether this is pleasant or not. And there's something that knows what the thoughts are without talking with the thoughts. We're quite capable of maintaining thoughts without believing them, disbelieving them, without running after them or fighting them off. Something that just can just know, this is coming, this is going. This is loud, this is not so loud. But let us acknowledge this capacity of quietly knowing. Being close enough to feel what this feels like, what I experience, and yet being grounded in the stillness of mind that is capable of standing in one's own center and knowing one's experience without reacting to it, nor repressing it. That's the big freedom of meditation. Complete permission to experience what I experience, neither repress nor enact what comes up. Breathing in, breathing out, and associating my attention to the felt quality of the breathing process. See whether you can do that. Just breathing, feeling the arising of a breath, the intensification of that breath, the decrease in intensity, the disappearance of the breath. If you want to take that a little further, then try to discern those four stages: arising, increase, decrease, disappearance of sensation, connected with one single breathing in, one single breathing out. Good, let's do that for a moment.